Not quite.
What's up?
Sell my car on Carvana. It's just not quite the right time.
Crazy coincidence. I just sold my car to Carvana.
What? I told you about it 2 days ago.
When you know, you know. You know? I'm even dropping it off at one of those sweet car vending machines and getting paid today.
That's a good deal.
Oh, great deal. Come on. What's your heart saying?
You're right. When you know,
you know.
Sold.
Whether you're looking to sell your car right now or just whenever feels right, go to Carvana.com and sell your car the convenient way. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Our Common Ground, first in a series of audio trainings being made available to the staff of OCG for not only initial training, but for reference purposes. Today we're going to be talking about the OCG strength-based therapeutic community. We will first do an overview of the TC. We'll then discuss the hierarchy of the TC, learning experiences within the therapeutic community, identifying when the therapeutic community is and isn't working, and why, and how to fix it. You'll also notice that I'll be using the term therapeutic community and TC interchangeably. In addition, there are going to be various things mentioned during the discussion of the TC where there will be separate audio trainings on those particular topics, and I will identify when that is when that occurs. So let's start with our overview. The everyday goal of the strength-based therapeutic community are compassion, achievement, discipline, accountability, and responsibility. This is achieved through community life based on a social learning model and created in formal and informal settings. The beliefs that are central to the TC hold that a person can change, a group can foster this change, family, and that the individual must take responsibility. And going through the motions, which is where we identify using the written philosophy as act as if, going through the motions can be used as a stopgap measure until these beliefs are integrated. So it is not our expectation when a client walks in the door that they will internalize the philosophies and values that we are trying to reestablish in them or establish in them to get them on the road to recovery. So what we're saying that it's okay for the client to act as if, to pretend, if we want to use that word, that they're buying in, with the hope that as time goes on, there's an actual, real buy-in. There are tools used to implement, and these tools are subsumed under the following categories, and we call these the five core concepts of the therapeutic community: behavioral management and intervention, emotional and psychological, intellectual and spiritual, vocational and survival skills, physical and medical. Each one of those categories, roles that are designated and responsible for assisting clients in moving through those categories. For example, physical and medical. It's our responsibility to make sure that while in the residential setting, that clients receive recreational activities so that they can exercise and regain what we would consider proper and good physical health. We also want to ensure that they're receiving appropriate medical attention. We know that people who are living a life of addiction aren't caring for themselves in the way that they should. And so illnesses that they have had before or illnesses that they may acquire during the course of their addictive lifestyle are not receiving proper medical attention. So once they enter the residential center, we want to get them we want them to have proper medical attention to have any issues that might be existing with the client looked at, a program of management started, and whatever the issue may be, that the client is taking care of it, it's being monitored, it's being managed, and that there is going to be an overall improvement in their health while they're in the residential setting. That's the ultimate goal. We want to improve their health while they're here. Vocational and survival skills. In the residential setting, in the facility itself, clients are assigned to various work teams. It could be the kitchen, landscaping, maintenance, house crew, the business office, rec and social. And clients should be assigned to those various teams first based on if they have experience. So, for example, if someone has experience working in the kitchen or being a chef or a cook, we would put them in the kitchen to not only utilize those skills, but to also have them continue to practice and have the family benefit from those skills. No different than someone who has carpentry experience would be on the maintenance team. Someone who has landscaping experience would be on the landscaping team, or sometimes just referred to as the grounds and maintenance team combined. Someone who has experience working in an office in an administrative capacity might work in the business office. So we would first look at what experience a person brings to the table and see if we can match them with one of the teams in the facility. And if that's not the case, if someone doesn't bring any skills to the table that are a match, we assign them to a team where they can learn. They can learn how to work in a kitchen. They can learn how to work on the grounds. They can learn how to work in the business office or learn how to do maintenance work and things of that nature. So it's within the facility that the first step of learning some vocational skills and survival skills and the things that are important to work start. Showing up on time, having a good attitude, the basics. Taking it outside, looking down the line, we want to assess what are the long-term needs of the client post-treatment. Do they have any marketable skills? If not, we need to put them on the path to or inquire about if they have a desire for any type of vocational training. And if they do, put them on a path to utilizing the services available in the community where they can receive vocational training in a field of their choice if it's available. If they have an existing skill, then it's a matter of noting that and making sure that they, and when the time is appropriate, they're focused on getting back into that field if they so desire. Intellectual and spiritual. On the intellectual side, this deals mostly with when we have data sessions and certain seminars that speak to the intellectual aspect of understanding recovery and what's required to succeed in recovery. Again, we're not dealing with any feelings and emotional aspects. We're just talking about understanding what the process is and what we need to do in order to move forward in that process. Spiritual has to do with making available the accommodation for a client to exercise either their religious beliefs, or if they're not particularly religious, but they do believe in a higher power, their spiritual beliefs. So we just have to make sure that the program provides means for them to exercise those beliefs, whether it's them going to church, whether it's allowing them time to do private exercise of those beliefs on site, either or are acceptable. What's important is that the accommodation is made. Emotional, psychological. Obviously, this deals with the core aspect of the driver behind addiction. What are the issues that have contributed to someone becoming addicted to drugs, someone becoming, someone staying in the life 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years? Are there any traumatic experiences that need to be dealt with? So that is what this concept, this category is speaking to. And this is where the real work is going to be done. Behavior management and intervention. Obviously, when someone comes into treatment for an addiction, they bring with them a lot of behaviors, some good, some bad, some ugly. And so we're going to see all of that. We're going to see the best and the worst of the person. It's our role to encourage the family, not us, the staff, but to encourage the family to play the majority role getting clients to change their negative behaviors and their negative attitudes and their negative ways of thinking, change them to behaviors that are positive, attitudes that are positive, ways of thinking that are positive. So we encourage the family to use positive peer pressure to accomplish that. Behavior shaping is achieved through a rigid adherence to a prescribed daily structure, which incorporates and includes and accommodates general meetings, limiting privileges, the couch, encounter group, and we'll have a separate training on that, morning meeting, we'll have a separate training on that, verbal reprimands, learning experiences, we'll have a separate training on that, time-limited behavioral contracts, pull-ups, unwritten philosophies, we'll have a separate training on that, seminars, and positive peer pressure. All of those things are utilized to accomplish the first core concept, behavior management and intervention. In addition, there are certain actions and activities or a combination thereof that are utilized within the TC to help foster the change that we would like to see out of our clients. And again, it is the family that is utilized to foster this change. It can manifest itself through written work, a process of clearly defining limits, expressing disapproval through voice intensity, looks and words, having to provide restitution, focusing on intense feelings, challenging behaviors, and carefrontation rather than confrontation, having reduced interaction, limiting privileges, as we stated before, role modeling, behavior tracking, it's looking at patterns, which then determine how the behavioral interventions will be applied, peer support and mentoring, giving instructional tasks, utilizing an incremental reward system, stability training, peer group, positive support networks, family, individual, and group counseling or therapy, planning and goal setting. A resident will also participate in several weekly scheduled therapeutic groups, including but not limited to gender group, trauma group, anger management, and seeking safety. All of these actions or activities take place in a caring but challenging and respectful atmosphere of structured peer interaction that places a unique focus on relapse prevention, stabilization, post-intervention activities, and social support. Treatment program begins with and continually encompasses assessing progress, planning, goal setting, as we stated before, and then evaluating the progress of the client. Ongoing, all of these things, not all, but some of these things may be happening simultaneously with the client. So that's the overview of the therapeutic community. In the TC, there is a hierarchy. The highest level that a client can achieve in this hierarchy, in the structure of the TC, is a coordinator. And coordinators are usually the elders, the eldest members of the family in terms of time. This is usually, not always, but usually, are the eldest members in terms of time. And they're charged with the responsibility of being in charge of the house. That's the job of the coordinators. They're in charge of the house. They're like the CEO of the house. A step down below the coordinators is the chief, a singular person that is responsible for running the house, keeping the house on schedule, on structure, on time, on point. And the chief has a team that works with him or her to accomplish that. And that team is called the expediting team. So the chief may have what we call a shingle expediter, which would be like the main assistant to the chief. And then there are expediters, generally change in number depending on the number of clients that are in treatment at any moment in time. But generally speaking, it's usually the largest team in the house, the expediting team. And they're considered the eyes and ears of the house. It's a privilege to be an expediter because you're charged with making sure that people are doing what they're supposed to be doing. When they're supposed to be on their jobs, they're on their jobs. When they're supposed to be in group, they're in group. When they're supposed to be signing in, signing out, that all of these things, all of these protocols, rules, and practices that we have in the TC, that the family members are adhering to them. And if they're not, it's the expediting team's job to ensure that they do. And if they don't, that they're appropriately disciplined by the family for not doing what they should be doing. Importance of the expediting team led by the chief. Then the shingle, and then the expediting team at large. Each team in the house is assigned a coordinator, and then each team has a department head. So look at it as, like I described, the coordinators are like the CEOs. So the coordinator of the kitchen would be the chief executive officer of the kitchen. And then each department has a department head. So you might call the department head of the kitchen, look at it as like the supervisor of the kitchen. And then there is a ramrod. These are all internal therapeutic community language terms. The ramrod would be like the foreman, the person who's directly closest to the most of the workers and ensuring that the work is getting done. The department head is ensuring that, you know, whatever the team needs, it has to get its job done. The department head also works as an active worker on the team, but supervises the team on a day-to-day basis, reports out to the coordinator of that team that the team is functioning or not functioning. The teams are supposed to meet periodically or as scheduled on the structure to discuss team business. And usually, as people come in the house, clients come in the house, and they get settled in and assigned onto a certain team, you start to aspire to move up the ladder. It's usually a natural thing that occurs. You start out as a regular general worker in the kitchen. You get an idea of how things work, and you want to move up to becoming a ramrod. Then you want to become the department head. Then you want to become the coordinator. And maybe not just of the team that you're on, but you might be having interest in a different team, and you want to move up. All that's left to the client to pursue, and the family to kind of control, with the staff kind of being the overseers and making sure that, you know, there isn't anyone promoted to or assigned to a position that would be inappropriate. So unless that is the case, usually we want the family to have the majority role in who's doing what. The only position, two positions that staff have really direct input, the most input in assigning or appointing to, are the coordinators and the chief of the house. So that's the hierarchy, and it's very important that the family in the TC utilizes the hierarchy. When the hierarchy isn't used, that means where are the family members going for the answers to questions or decisions that need to be made? They're going to the staff. And they should not be going to the staff. They should be using the hierarchy within the TC structure. The only persons in the structure, in the TC hierarchy, that should be communicating with the staff would be the chief and the coordinator on duty for the day, and or a coordinator over a particular team. But usually there is a coordinator assigned for the day as the coordinator on duty, and that coordinator is in charge of the house for that day, and that coordinator on duty works in conjunction with the chief to make sure that that house runs smoothly for that day. And I put the word smoothly in quotations because it does not mean what we would normally think it means in everyday society. There are learning experiences that are assigned within the therapeutic community. In order to ensure that the therapeutic community continues to function as it's intended to and as it's designed to, it's very important that family members adhere to the rules and regulations of the community. When that doesn't occur, there are behavioral interventions that are applied. Some are done globally, some are done formally, behind closed doors. Depending on the pattern of behavior that a particular client may have, they may be assigned additional tasks other than receiving a verbal reprimand to try and create or force them to focus on the behavior that they're engaging in that the family wants them to change. Notice I said that the family wants them to change, not what the staff wants them to change. It's the family that is forcing this change. So learning experience could be writing assignments. They could be physical work. They could be many different things. We can be as creative as we want in coming up with learning experiences. Understand that the criteria is that the client learns from the experience and that it is nothing humiliating, and that the if it's a physical learning experience, that it's something that benefits the family. So if someone has to clean bathrooms or clean windows or mop the floor or they're responsible for the garbage for the day and things of that nature, those type of we call physical LEs. LEs is the short abbreviated term we use for learning experiences in the TC. It has to benefit the family. So we can't assign someone to dust a light bulb for 30 minutes. That's useless. It serves no purpose. There's no benefit to it. It has no redeeming value. So the learning experience has to have a redeeming value for the client. And as a byproduct, benefit the family. Not always will there be a family benefit, because the most important benefit is to the client. An example of that is when someone might be put on relator's desk, which isn't physical work, but they're put on relator's desk to talk and share and open up, learn to open up and talk about themselves and their experiences and their feelings, etc. That's primarily meant to benefit the client. One of the easiest ways to identify when the therapeutic community is working is when there is little staff involvement in the functioning of it. So if I'm the staff on duty, for short, we call that SOD. If I'm the SOD and I'm only communicating with the coordinator on duty or just the chief as to what's going on? Are we on time? Are we on schedule? Is dinner on schedule? Are there any issues going on in the house that I need to be aware of? Things of that nature. If the chief or the coordinator on duty are the only two people that I'm communicating with for that day, for if I am facilitating medication, facilitating transportation, things of that nature, which will cause me to involve myself with groups of clients or particular clients, etc. But aside from that, in terms of just the running, the working of the floor and of the and the facility and the structure, if I'm only communicating with the coordinator on duty and the chief, then I know that at the very least, the theoretical functioning of the therapeutic community is to be more aware of what's happening out in the world of the TC. The easiest sign that it's not working if all the clients are coming to me for support or coming to me to get questions answered that are either in their orientation packet or things that should have been filtered down by their big brother or big sisters, or that they could have asked the chief, or they could have went to the coordinator's office and asked the coordinators, but instead of doing that, they're bypassing the structure and coming directly to me. That's the first thing that should make my ears perk up as to why is this occurring. Why are they not utilizing the structure, the hierarchy of the TC? Why isn't this person going to the chief, or why aren't they going to the coordinator on duty? who has the authority to then say, go to the chief. Busy doing other things. So if I'm getting a lot of contact with clients for TC business, the first sign that something is askew, and I have to figure out what's going on, why it's going on, and immediately fix it. And the first two people I bring in are the coordinator and the chief. Coordinator on duty, COD, and the chief. Why is this happening or why is that happening? I need information from them, the leaders of the house, on why a particular thing, whatever it may be, whether it's clients coming directly to me or clients not following the hierarchical structure, and sometimes you may get answers like, well, they're just refusing, they're just bypassing. Are they being not following the hierarchy? We call that shooting a curve, not following the chain of command. Is the behavior being recognized, and are the tools of the house that are available for the members of the hierarchy to utilize to enforce the hierarchy? Are they utilizing those tools? Oftentimes, the answer will be no. And you'll find out easily the source of the problem. That the tools that are available for them to use are not being utilized. And then when you find that out, you realize that, okay, it's like I have to restart this engine. We have to restart it. And the act of restarting it is you pushing your hand, both your hands, and pushing them out and forcing the clients back to the structure. Forcing them back. You have to push them back to the structure. Go to the chief. Go to the chief. Go to the coordinator. Go to the coordinator. They have to be forced to utilize the tools that are available to them. If we don't do that, time that a client is allowed to circumvent the chain of command, we're contributing to the uneven running of the TC. So it's going to run like an untuned engine, carbureted engine from back in the day. You know, when it wasn't tuned correctly, you'd see the engine, you know, it'll run rough and it'll like shake. And when it gets tuned out properly and the air-fuel mixture in the carburetor is adjusted exactly the way it should be, it smooths out and runs like a sewing machine. Not like today's cars that are fuel-injected and electronic fuel-controlled, so you don't have to worry about that. But back in the day, you had to have a touch to tune out the engine and get it to run nice and smooth. No different than the TC. Keep in mind, the rough running has nothing to do with any particular incidents that may be occurring in the TC. That's very important to note. Oftentimes, it's confused with there might be incidents going on in the TC, rule violations going on in the TC, and that's interpreted as, oh, the TC is not running right. It's not running smooth because people are disobeying rules and violating this protocol and doing this and doing that, engaging in negative behavior. That is not a sign of the TC not running properly. That's just a sign of people acting out. The TC is built to deal with people acting out. The family has tools at their disposal to deal with people acting out, other family members acting out. And it's my job as a staff on duty to make sure that they're using those tools. So I don't confuse behavior that may be occurring in the TC as the TC not running smooth, with the structure of a TC being adhered to and the protocols of the hierarchy and the utilization of the tools being adhered to. When those things aren't happening, that's when the TC is not running smoothly. Not if somebody violates a rule. Clients are going to violate rules. That's why they're there in the TC in the first place. They've spent a large portion of their life violating rules. So there's no expectation walking in the door that someone's going to immediately flip over and obey rules. They're going to, most clients obey rules from pressure. Pressure from their peers, pressure from other family members to obey the rules of the house so that the house remains a safe environment for the other family members. So that the protocols of the house remains as such that the other family members can enjoy the environment of the house. So it's up to the family members to enforce that, and they enforce that by utilizing the tools that are available to them to enforce it. And that's how the TC gets fixed when it gets off course. Another way that the TC gets off course, starts running rough, is when there's too much staff involvement. When there's too much staff control. And oftentimes, it may not be purposefully done. There may not be any malicious intent in doing it. Sometimes it's not even conscious that it's being done. But when we do a postmortem on a particular period of time where we realize that the TC wasn't running as intended, oftentimes we find out that the root cause, when we do a root cause analysis, the root cause involvement in the intimate workings of a TC rather than staying within their roles as the person to steer, guide, act as bumpers, act as agitators to get family members to utilize the tools at their disposal to affect change. So it's okay for us to see where a problem may exist, where change may need to be ushered in, so to speak. It's not our job to do it. It's our job to get the family to do it. And the tools we have to, in order to make that happen, we have morning meeting. We have evening wrap up. We have can drop lugs are very short and brief statements to clients. Lugs can be negative, such as, hey, I noticed you were in the books yesterday for reacting on staff. Is that what you're about? And keep on walking. The client doesn't get an opportunity to respond. Or it can be positive. See, back in the old days, there was no such thing as a positive lug. And that's the change. And with the strength-based TC, it's not just negative lugs. Now, there's a time and a place, obviously, there's a time and a place where you're going to utilize negative lugs, pointing out negative behavior. But we must equally utilize positive lugs. Hey, don't think I didn't notice you got risen in the week last week. Hey, good stuff in morning meeting the other day. I like that elaboration you gave on that pull-up. Keep it up. Those are two examples of positive lugs. So we as staff have tools available to us that we must use. But we don't overstep our bounds and get so immersed in the TC that actually we become the problem. And many a root cause analysis has come to that conclusion. That when we take a step back and look at why is the TC running this way, we can see that there's over-involvement of the staff in the TC, too much control, not enough empowerment of the hierarchy specifically, and empowerment of the family generally to utilize the tools that they have to take control, run the house, affect the change that they want to affect. Not enough empowerment. So I want to close with some do's and then some don'ts. So the do's I think we've heard are empower the hierarchy with the authority that we have vested in the positions that they have been appointed to. Understand that there are tools for the family to use to correct any abuse of authority by those in the hierarchy. Empower the family to utilize those tools to affect the change that they want from themselves, from their peers, from the family at large. Stay out of the mix. Watch from afar. Notice what's going on as a staff person. See where there needs to be some agitation, some outside influence, and utilize those tools that we have in those directions. But not direct involvement, because that then circumvents the TC process. It just cuts out the family. That's a don't. No direct involvement. Another do is to don't burn yourself out. Stay within your role as a staff person, as the staff on duty. Utilize the teams at your disposal to obtain the information you need in order to best accomplish the responsibilities you have on your shift. That's why the structure is in place the way it is. Some don'ts. We don't humiliate clients. We don't disrespect clients. We don't treat clients like children, since we are primarily and only dealing with adults. We don't act as if it's our house, but tell them that it's their house. Act as if it's their house simultaneously while we're telling them it's their house. Because just like we say, we're going to look at what you do, not what you say, they're going to look at what we do and how it manifests itself, not what we say. So we can say to them all day long, it's your house, it's your house, it's your house. But we're controlling every single thing in the house. So in no way, shape, or form are we showing them that it's their house by releasing our grip off of the TC, we're showing them, it's your house. Take control of it. And then the TC will flourish. It's like a living organism. It'll have its ups, its downs, its many different experiences, different feels to it depending on what the family vibe is at any given moment or any periods of time. The TC is to organically deal with any issue that comes up in the TC. Any issue. If it is allowed to do so. That's the key. If it is allowed to do so, the TC can deal with any issue that regarding this training on the therapeutic community and anything that has been talked about in this training, you can feel free to email me directly at daytop@packbell.net. If you have a specific question that you want clarified, etc. And this training will also continually always be available. You'll always have access to the link for the purposes of reference and review, or if there are any issues that may come up in staff meeting, you can always refer back to this training about therapeutic community to have some questions answered, get some clarification, and if necessary, regroup and refocus depending on what may be going on at any moment in time. Thank you very much.
Bada, bada boom, sold.
Huh?
Just sold my car on Carvana. Dropping it off and getting paid today.
Already?
What, you still haven't sold yours? You told me about it months ago.
I just...
Is the offer good?
Oh, the offer's great.
Don't have another car yet?
I could trade it in for this car I love.
Come on, what are we waiting for?
Ah, you're right.
Let's go.
Whether you're looking to sell your car right now or just whenever feels right, go to Carvana.com and sell your car the convenient way. Terms and conditions apply.
Every day when you log into ChumbaCasino.com, the ultimate online social casino, you get a free daily bonus. Imagine if you got daily bonuses in other parts of your life.
I chose French fries over loaded French fries.
I asked Stuart from accounting about his weekend, even though I don't care.
I updated my operating system without having to call tech support.
Collect your free daily bonus at ChumbaCasino.com now. And live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.